Okay, I'm back.
Hi again.
Father, we do ask that would help us and encourage us today with the scripture. Allow us to learn things from the Old Testament that you want us to learn. Help us understand how we could apply these different things to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's turn to Numbers chapter 1. We'll read a few verses and then we'll talk about them and move on. The children of Israel had gone out of the time in Egypt. God led them out. We see this. We saw that in Exodus, and in Leviticus, we saw some of their the laws that were put down for them to follow. And here in the book of Numbers, we're noticing the fact of they're going to be numbered for different purposes. They're going to have different trials to go through. They're going to learn some things that God wants to teach them. So let's read some verses here in Numbers chapter 1. Bill, you start with verse 1, please.
And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying...
I'm going to read verse 2, please. Verse 2.
Taking the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers, with the numbers of their names, every male by poles.
From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies.
And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers.
And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you of the tribe of Reuben, Eleazar, the son of Shedeur. So, I'm going to have a listing of different tribes and of different heads of those tribes or captains of those tribes. And it's also going to, the scripture is going to tell us who the fathers of those captains or those heads of those tribes are. Now again, just to review briefly, the tribes of Israel. There are 12 tribes of Israel, primarily named after the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob did have his name changed to Israel. God changed his name to Israel. And he had four wives, two sisters, and each of the sisters had a concubine, and so he ended up with four wives. He was interested in the one wife, Rachel, but then he ended up with four of them. And God gave him these 12 children.
Who's that you're talking about?
We're talking about Jacob.
Jacob,
who had his name changed to Israel.
Okay.
Jacob is the father. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Abraham, God promised to make of Abraham a great nation.
Oops.
And we're Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham married Sarah. Abraham.
He's the father.
Isaac, he's the father of the son of promise. He's also the father of the son of works, Ishmael, and the sons of Keturah. But the son of promise is Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the older son. Jacob was the younger son. But yet God blessed Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. And we're going to be talking about, when we talk about the tribes of Israel, they derive from these sons of Jacob. And so, if you notice here in verse 1, when did the Lord speak to Moses in relation to the time Israel departed out of Egypt? The scripture says here in verse 1, on the first day of the second month in the second year. So in the second year, of the second month, first day. And everything is related to when they left Egypt. Everything's related to when they left Egypt. There are things in this country that are related to when the country declared its independence from England. And so we count the anniversary of this country based upon that particular event. And so this event when they left Egypt was a very big thing. It was a very big thing in their life, and they're counting how many days or how many years it was since they left Egypt. And God is speaking to Moses and to Aaron here in Egypt, probably after they departed of Egypt, in Sinai. Sinai is where God is speaking to them. Now, Bill, in verse 2, who was to be numbered and named?
The children of Israel. Now that raises a question that I couldn't understand from here, and I tried several verses that this refers to. How are they to be numbered in accordance to their birth, from their birth in their particular family, or is it the number that they came from in the tribe?
They're to be numbered in the sense of, like, if I'm going to number the people that are in this room, I don't have to take my shoes off, because we have not everyone's here yet. So I count 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5.
Just a random order then.
Yeah, I'm just counting them, and they did it by within. Well, we'll see as we progress the book and through this chapter, they did it through each tribe. You know, this tribe they did it orderly.
Okay.
Each tribe had the captain, had the head of the tribe. And within each tribe, they had families and subfamilies. And so think of a big family reunion of a sort. You have Uncle Harry's family, Uncle Joe's family, Uncle Peter's family, and, you know, and Uncle whoever's family. You know, that type of thing. You have it. You have the sub. Think of a family tree. You have the brackets. Think of in a sports event. You have a bracket. You have the playoffs. Things are bracketed. And so you have, at the very top, you have the championship game, and then it comes down here to the how you get there. And so you have these subfamilies. But then in this instance, near the top, we have the 12 major heads of the families. Underneath that, we have the smaller sections of that family. And so they're going out and having a census of a sort, and they're assigning these captains to be in charge to assist Moses and Aaron to number their families. And sometimes it seems as though they could number them by having certain representatives from the family just list their family heritage, their family tree. Just list it off. Okay, we have this, you know, I got my mother, my father, then I got my brother, my other brother, my other brother, my sister, you know, and then they have, this brother's got 2 kids, that girl's got 4 children, and this other girl's doesn't have any children, and so we go through and we list the whole family that way, by going through it this way. Probably ultimately there must have been something put on paper, I would think, just to keep track of things. It didn't have to be, but whatever they used for paper in that time, it wouldn't be paper like we use, but something I would think to be able to record these numbers. Ultimately, we have it here in the scripture, so it did end up on paper that we know about. But so they were numbering them. Tammy.
It did say that it was every male.
Yes, that's true. Every male. Thank you, Tammy. Every male. So.
Of 20 years old.
Yes, of 20 years and older. So.
Now. They qualify.
Yeah, they qualify. So if we're counting in here, I'm going to have to get your ID to make sure you're over 20. And if you are, then I'll count you. You know.
I'm 19. I don't have to go.
Good. So there's no. That's
so
true.
They may be
have another type
too infirmed to go forth to war.
That's true.
You can't count them.
Okay. And so they would do every male, 20 years old and upward. So
conscientious objector.
Yes, that's true. That's true. They would be those. I'm not in Israel though, but here in this country, in other countries, they have those conscientious objectors.
I never saw anyone when I was in the army.
Really?
Yeah. whoever said they were a conscientious objector, I've never even met any such person. No. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they would even made it into the army then, if they were conscientious objector.
Well,
I thought the idea was
they shouldn't have been able to make it into it, but I never even heard of anybody who didn't make it to the draft. A lot of people joined the Navy or the Air Force in order to avoid the Army.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they did. Didn't they?
Quite a few people went to Canada in order to avoid it, or Mexico.
Yes, that's right. Now, there were some, like the Amish, Mennonites, those types of people would not even want to be involved in the fighting conflict.
They're probably the only ones.
I mean, I'm sure if they, I don't know, I can't say for sure. I thought they had some type of positions that they could do with stateside that wouldn't be necessarily involved in shooting people and killing people.
I don't know.
I don't know. Tammy.
Wasn't there an incident we remember hearing from someone who was a conscientious objector and they were treated very, very badly here in this country? It was like they were persecuted or something.
Hmm.
And I don't remember what time frame it was. But for some reason, I want to say it was a Mennonite or Amish. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. During the Second World War, or do we know what era?
No, probably.
It was? I'm not sure which mm-hmm. era it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Vietnam. Yeah, could be.
They may have been recounting something else from their history.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, there are some people that. But then, nonetheless, we got people here, males that are 20 years old and upward, that are being counted. We're counting noses, counting heads. And so, Bill, did I ask you this question, right? Who was to be numbered and named?
Yeah.
Question number three, at what age was the census to begin, and what were those numbered able to do? It was 20 years old and upward. So anyone that's about 20 years old and upward, and they were able to go forth to war. Again, this is every male that's 20 years old and upward who is able to go forth to war. So they're being numbered to know exactly how few or how many they had. And so, Mom, in verse 4, who was able to be, who was to be with Moses and Aaron? Okay, I just had a question for number 4. My question for verse 4 was, who was to be with Moses and Aaron? And you said, you read the whole verse, but a man from every tribe. And so we have here, Moses and Aaron aren't going out there by themselves. They have a man from every tribe, and the man they're selecting from every tribe is the head of that tribe, is the captain, is the senior member of the tribe, or at least has been given that position of being the being authority over that particular tribe. And so we see here, what is the name of Shuter's son, and from what tribe is he? And we see here Shuter, his son is Eleazar, and he's from the tribe of Reuben. And we know that Reuben is the firstborn son of Jacob. Yes, got a thought about that. Okay, number 2?
Yeah. Children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names. Bring me up by their poles.
Okay, so we have the person, every male was to be numbered. We see later specifically those that are 20 years old and upward that are able to go forth to war.
So you want more than just every man from every tribe,
That's all I was looking for, a very short, simple answer.
Okay.
Let's read a few more verses. Bill, go ahead and read verse 6, please.
Okay.
of Simeon, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, whatever that is.
That's good. And read verse 7, please, Mom.
Of Judah, Nashon, the son of Amadab, Adab, I don't know what it is.
Amadab. Of Issachar, Nathaniel, the son of Zuar.
Of Zebulun, Elab, or Eliab, the son of Helon.
Of the children of Joseph, Ephraim, Elishama, the son of Aminhud, Manasseh, Gimeel, the son of Pedhezra. So we see here, these names we're going over. We're going over names of the heads. And these men are going to go with Moses and Aaron as they are taking the census, as they're going to number people. Now these people's names are going to come up again throughout the book. At least the next chapter, they'll come up again, some of these names. These men, these are captains of their tribes. As we see how they're situated around the tabernacle. And so, we said the question number six is named someone from the tribe of Simeon. We have two people here. We have two people that we know that are listed here in this verse, Shumiel and Zer Ishadai. These are two people from the tribe of Simeon. That's verse six. And Tammy, what is the name of Nashon's father, and from what tribe are they?
Amminadab, and they're from the tribe of Judah.
That's right, from the tribe of Judah. Now, some of these tribes we know more about than other tribes. But what is the tribe of Judah? What are they known for? Or for what are they known, Bill?
Our Savior, Jesus. Yes.
Lord Jesus Christ came from the tribe of Judah. Tammy.
They're the regal or kingly tribe.
Yes, that's right. They're the royal or the kingly tribe. That's correct. And so, Mom, go ahead.
Can we answer, who was the name of Shedar's son?
Which question?
Simeon 6?
Yes.
Chapter 1, 5.
Question 6, you're wondering?
Yeah, I just can't seem to keep up.
Yes, we did answer that question.
Number 5, I think.
On number 5. What is the name of Shuter's son? And from what tribe is he?
Shuter, the son of Zerubbabel.
Elzer. Elzer is the name of his son. And he is from the tribe of Reuben. See it there in the verse 5? And so notice in moving on. Moving on to question number 8. From what tribe are Nethiel and Zur? Both these are from the tribe of Issachar. And Anna, what is the name of Helon's son? And from what tribe is he?
Eliab,
that's right.
From the tribe of Zebulun.
Now these Zebulun, the name of these tribes should be somewhat familiar to us because we've heard them before. We studied them. They come up in the book of Genesis as the sons of Jacob, and they're throughout the entire scripture. Many of these names of these tribes, and we notice what are the two names of Joseph? We know their names are Manasseh and Ephraim, or Ephraim and Manasseh, and these are the two sons of Joseph. Let's read a few more verses. Bill, verse 11, please.
Of Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni. He must have been Italian.
Perhaps. Hey, Mom, verse 12, please, read it.
Verse 12?
Uh-huh, that's right.
We go down farther.
Just read verse 12.
Of Dan, Ahizer, the son of Amadibashabadaba.
Okay. Tammy, please read.
Sounds like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah,
happen to have two.
Asher, Pagiel, the son of Ochran.
Of Gad, Eliasaph, the son of Juel.
From Naphtali, Ira, the son of Enan. And so going back to this verse 11, remember this question 11, we see who is the father of Abidan, and from what tribe is he? We know that he's the who is his father? He's the son of Gedoni, and they're from the tribe of Benjamin. And we know Benjamin; he's the youngest son of Jacob, and from his mother was Rachel.
Saul was from his tribe.
Yes, yeah, Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. That's correct. King Saul. King Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin.
And so was the Apostle Paul.
Apostle Paul. That's right. Apostle Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Anyone else that we know from the tribe of Benjamin?
There were a whole lot of them,
weren't there?
Wasn't Bela one of his sons?
They were slain. They were slain because they were wicked men.
Yes. They were, weren't they?
And they married, those that were left married the Shilohites.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they wouldn't go down to war, and so they were... you want to recall the account, Anna? Okay. Yes, that's true. That's right.
And I guess there was a not going for. I don't know. There were multiple.
Multiple levels of what happened. But so that's Benjamin. Now, Bill, question number 12. I want to read it and then give an answer.
From what tribe is Amishadai and Ahizer or Ahizer or whatever? From the tribe of Dan.
They're from the tribe of Dan. That's correct.
You should know them real well.
I should, yes. Mm-hmm. I should know them.
I think he's actually Daniel. So.
And so, notice here in question 13, who is the son of Askran, and from what tribe are they? We see he's the son of Pagiel, and they're from the tribe of Asher. Tribe of Asher. And Mom, name one person from the tribe of Gad.
The first name.
Question 14.
Name one person from the tribe of Gad. We should know that, but...
We should.
Gad. He only asked that the son of Juel.
Good. Yes, either of those people. They're both from the tribe of Gad.
You could have put someone that wasn't listed in the verse if you really wanted to.
Yes, you could. Yeah, the question
you're
doesn't...
Do an investigatory work.
Yes.
Who is the son of Ikran? From what tribe are they? I get all mixed up with them.
Asher.
And then looking at question 15... Who is the father of... Were you asking about question 13?
Yes, she is.
Who is the son of Ochran, and from what tribe are they?
Who's the father?
Pagiel is his son. You see that there in verse 13? And they're from the tribe of Asher. And looking at question 15, who is the father of Enan, and from what tribe is he?
I have a little problem with this question.
Yes, so do I. I think I might have mentioned it to someone as well.
I don't think we know who his father was.
I put a descendant of Naphtali. Could not find specifics.
I said I don't know.
I guess it should be who is the son.
Yes.
of in there.
Yes, I put that bonus.
Yeah, that was a mistake. In other words, there were a couple. There were a few mistakes that were on here, and anyway, there are things got mixed up slightly with this question.
Well, you did well in asking creative questions.
Yes. Does you have a question? Okay, are you trying to name one person in the tribe of Gad?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Is that your question?
I forget my question. I really forget.
If you forget your question, let's look at question a few more questions in a moment here. We just looked at question 15, but let's read verses 16 and following. Bill, read 16 there. And
these were the renowned of the congregation. Princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel.
All right, verse 17, please read that. Mom, please read verse 17.
Who took the men expressed by their names?
No, read the verse.
I did what wrong?
Read the verse.
Oh, 1:17. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names.
And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, were 20 years old and upward by their poles.
As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai.
And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. And so we notice here in verse 16, the question is, in what two ways were the princes described? They're described as being renowned of the congregation and heads of the thousands of Israel. So they're renowned, they're well known in the family, in the Israel, and they're also the heads of the thousands of Israel. Now, Tammy, question number 17. Okay, so we have these men. We just talked about a moment ago. These 12 men. Moses said, "I need you. I need you." We got these 12 men. He took them. They took them, and so the 12 heads. He took the captains, the heads. He took them to be able to get this numbering completed. Your thought?
Are these same people that were mentioned above?
Yeah, the people. All those people we just talked about. You know,
they were just sort of by themselves and had no grounding, and then they got grounded.
They were really grounded. They were renowned in the congregation. They were heads of their family, heads of the thousands of Israel, according to verse 16. So they were the patriarchs of their tribe, we'll say. And so Moses and Aaron took these 12 men for the purpose of coming up with this census that they were working on. And so we see here in verse 18, the question number 18 is, when they were assembled, what did they declare? When were they assembled? Scripture says here in verse 18, the first day of the second month. The first day of the second month they were assembled. And what did they do? They declared their pedigrees after their families. So, you ever thought about that?
Evidently, family was very important in those days.
Yes, it was. It was. And so, how much of a pedigree I could declare? I mean, I could go probably. I can't go I can go down a little bit. I can't go back. I can't go sideways too much or up too much. But
what are we talking about? Lying?
No. In declaring one's pedigree.
Oh, okay.
I mean, how well can you declare your pedigree?
Me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can go back to a great-grandmother.
Okay. Now, can you do your great grandmother's siblings?
So, I might be able to. I don't know. But they, I told you this recently, I think. But I asked my mother very near the end of her life. I said, when I know who Grandma Castle is, that was her grandmother and my grandmother's mother. And I can remember Grandpa Castle, and I can remember a few people. Why can't I remember more of your relatives, like your cousins and your aunts and uncles? Why can't I picture a face like that? And she's paused a minute, and then she said, because Daddy didn't want you to be around these people because they drank all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's a good reason.
Yeah, but it also limited my ability of knowing who these relatives were.
Okay,
I didn't know a drunk man from a non-drunk man.
Okay, so I can...
But I can see his point.
Okay, I can go back maybe 150 years, maybe, and naming someone in my family that lived 150 years ago. But can you go back 400 years or 300 years?
You know,
without a book. I mean, I just found out about a new grandfather I didn't know about for most of my life. And it wasn't a grandfather. It was like an eighth grandfather to the eighth degree or 7th, 8th degree. Well, I can't talk about it right now, but it's...
You don't want anyone to get wind of it and then accuse you of...
Right. I can't let that happen. But, I mean, my sister-in-law did this work on ancestry, genealogies, that type of thing.
You mean Dad's wife?
Yes. And she came up with a bunch of people that... I mean, that I didn't even know they existed. But she according to the records... If they're accurate, they existed. But my overall point is, that's going back 400 years, a little bit more than 400 years, I suppose. With some of these names, but I wouldn't be able to pull these people's names out of a hat. I mean, I wouldn't recognize them if of course he's not around to be recognized. But if you show me if there was a picture or a drawing, some of these people I would know were my family. Bill, you had a thought before I keep on talking.
Yeah, one of my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers was George Washington.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
That's something.
I heard somebody out in the kitchen talking about this, and they were related. George Washington was his cousin or something.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I heard someone else talking about how they were related to George Washington, too. I guess he was a popular person. I mean, I think... They have.
He was an honorable politician.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. Well, I'm glad he's.
He wasn't a politician.
Yeah, I'm not
well,
sure.
Well, he was a general then politician.
I guess it.
I guess it
didn't rub off on one of his grandsons of his, huh?
He wouldn't like the word politician.
No, he would not. He would not.
He would say he was a leader.
In his day, he wanted people to pay for things. But I'm glad. That's very interesting that he's part of the family. But bringing back George Washington, when he was only, 230 years ago, or however many years it's been. Okay, maybe he's more than 230 years ago. I mean,
no,
300 years ago, whatever.
Just that he didn't have any children of his own, and he only had stepchildren.
Yes, there were stepchildren.
Okay, Bill.
I knew...
There's something wrong in that written record.
No, something's wrong with your statement. I thought everybody was catching on.
I've never misstated in my life.
We knew it wasn't true because there wouldn't be that many greats anyway.
And so, but the idea of going back, we're talking about family people because these men, these 12 men from these 12 tribes, they had it down. They had their pedigree down, their family down. They knew of the people that were. Not necessarily the people that went before them, but they knew all the people that came that went after them. You know, just they can name all these. they have, in order to get the people that are after them or the contemporary with them, they had to go back to get the connection, going back sometime, going back to when the children of Israel entered into the promise, entered into Egypt, to get these major heads of the tribes, you know, the 12 patriarchs, and then they had to say, okay, Reuben had this number of children, and those children, they had so many grandchildren, so they had it all down very orderly, organized in their mind, and so forth. Tammy.
So how old do you suppose most of these heads of the tribes were? Because remember, Moses died at 120,
mm-hmm.
and Aaron was older than he, although he died a little bit earlier, but he was probably close to that age.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if the scripture tells us, but I'm wondering if they didn't live typically over 100,
mm-hmm.
and so you would have easily four generations
right.
that you would know,
mm-hmm.
you can name.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. There would be, but just think, we're talking about thousands of people that they're coming up with, mm-hmm. you know. And this is just the, and I'm sure there's people that they didn't name because they didn't qualify because they were younger than 20 years old, and they were the daughters. But just think about this. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could even naming these people. That was really something. And the way they did it. And so we see they were assembled on the first day of the second month, and they declared the pedigree. They didn't say, just a second, Moses, let me go to get my sister-in-law's book here, or my aunt's book, or my cousin's book, or this book that I put together, or my uncle's book that he put together about the family. No, they knew it. They were the primary source material of the family. And so they were able to recite and give a clear number of who was in that tribe and who...
Verse 18,
when it says they declared their pedigrees after the families. And so they just declared it. They just stated it. They sat down. Moses and Aaron went there and says, "I need you 12 men to come with us. We got to get a count." And so that's what they did.
So,
Tammy.
So if they're 120, if their lives are around 120 years,
mm-hmm.
they could declare the four generations that follow them, or
mm-hmm.
three,
however right.
that works out, to the great grands.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could go back just as far, probably easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it would be what they had learned.
Yes. That's an interesting observation that you're making there. Cause
so that's 240 years.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Is she naming names?
Pardon me?
Naming some names?
No, she's doing math.
Okay.
You know, as far as thinking through it. And so maybe what you're suggesting, I never really thought of this before until that's going to blow off. I shouldn't say it's going to blow off. I shouldn't be so dogmatic. I'm looking outside at a flagpole, and it's really windy outside, and it seems like it's going
to
come off the... I don't think it's coming off, but no one can see what I can see. But it's very nice windy day. The flag is blowing in the breeze, and we're gonna address the problem of the flag that's gonna come off. I have to get some sheet metal screws and fix it. So that's how I fix it. I'll put some sheet metal screws into the pole, the two sections of the pole, and I'll fix it that way. But getting back to declaring this pedigree, Tammy, you mentioned something that was very interesting. I always took it that Moses was the senior member of the children of Israel. But like you said, that's not necessarily true. I mean, you didn't necessarily say it quite this way.
Well, you know, Aaron was older.
But I'm thinking...
Aaron was older.
I'm
too
Okay, just roll up around the pole.
Just roll up around the pole,
and then we'll put it in the corner, and we'll fix it that we'll fix it later on when it's not so windy or cold out or something. But what Tammy was just a very interesting point that you just made. Thank you, Anna, for fixing that problem for me. I should have not been such an alarmist about the whole thing.
Well,
but
I
it's
fixed it when I came, but then I didn't. I had a heavy backpack on.
Right.
I didn't want to fix it.
Earlier in this month, it's blown off the other part of the pole at least two or three times, which is not a good thing. With some extra windy days we've been having, I guess we have cold fronts, warm fronts that are blowing in. But what you're saying, I think it's very interesting. You could have people that are older than Moses by 40 years, perhaps, at this time. Because Moses is only 82 at this time. 82 or so. Because it's the second year of coming out of Egypt. When he came out of Egypt, he was 80, more or less. And so, you know, we think of these men as being contemporary with Moses, but it's possible they were older than Moses, and we were not positive, but it's possible. Anna, you have a thought?
Yeah, it seems like, if you look at the genealogy of Moses himself, it seems like there's like fewer people than you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe we'll get into that in a later chapter.
Okay.
That's interesting. And it's a little puzzling, but part of it is perhaps that we have a certain mindset of ages and what age people might have children
or
something.
I don't know. I'm not explaining it very well.
Okay.
And
Moses was 40, over 40, when he had his children.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, men do have advantage over women as far as men can sometimes have children when they're older compared to... I'm not explaining it.
Yes, you're explaining it very well. Explaining it very well. So, Anna, question number 19: Where were the children of Israel when they were numbered?
In the wilderness of Sinai.
Wilderness of Sinai, which is Saudi, or the region of Saudi, no, the region of Arabia. Is that what the country's called?
Yes, on
the other side of the.
You can't see on those maps.
No, they're very very small.
We have to change the map.
The corner, and that we can't cope with changing the map.
Maybe you should bring in a small map.
Yes.
And you can put it on the visual presentation.
Yes, that's good. Yeah, but there
we can make a few copies for the people who are.
Someone did make me a workbook, or I didn't. Joy made us some type of graphs and charts. Interesting. Yes, what she used when she was studying. It's very thank you for that Joy. We appreciate that. And so they were in the wilderness of Sinai. And so, who is the firstborn son of Jacob?
That's
my question. Question number 20. What do you have? What do you have for question 20?
This is firstborn.
Oh, it's not supposed to say born, it's supposed to say born. It was the first born son of Jacob. That's the real question. And we see the children of, it says Reuben, it says Israel's oldest son. Reuben was the firstborn. Reuben's mother's name was Leah. Leah was the older sister of Rachel. Let's read some more verses. Bill, pick it up with the 21, please.
Reuben is also a sandwich.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, they were selling it today at the cafeteria.
Did you buy one?
No.
Okay. So, go ahead. Verse 21, Bill.
Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. That's a lot of people.
Remember, right? Verse 22. Please read verse 22.
Of the children of Simeon by their generations, after their families by the house of their fathers, those that were numbered of them according to the number of the names by their polls. Every male from 20 years old and upward all, and that were able to go forth to war.
Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300.
Of the children of Gad, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war.
Those who were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Gad, were 45,650. And so noticing this question number 21, which tribe had 46,500 males? Of course, as understood, there are males who are above the age of 20, males who were able to go forth to war. And we see here these were from the tribe of Reuben. And so, Bill, at what age did the numbering begin?
About age 20.
Age 20.
What verse are we in?
We're in verse 22. Numbering began at age 20. And so we notice here in question 23, how many were from the tribe of Simeon? And we see 59,300 were from the tribe of Simeon. And just think, the captain of the tribe of Simeon, he was able to recite this number, the many of names. He was able to identify the 59,300 by name. Mom.
What you're saying is different here. Those that were numbered of them, even with the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. Is that the same thing you're saying?
I'm saying it's slightly different. Let's look at this number, 59,300. If you wanted to write this in Arabic numerals, how would you write it?
Well, I forgot Arabic.
They used to use Arabic numerals every day.
I know Arabic. What's the question again?
If you're going to write this in Arabic numerals, how would you write it out?
Give me a transfer, 59,300.
59,000 is how many thousand?
5,900.
And 5,900 with 2 3 zeros, right?
300.
I'm wrong.
No, I'm asking, how are you wrong?
Because I didn't say the same thing as you did.
What did
I
you just have?
No, I just gave the...
59,300. 59,300.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what I said first or not.
Good. Well, I so we have... The number from the tribe is Simeon, 59,300, which is 59,300. That's how many are from the tribe of Simeon. And so the chief, the captain of this family, this tribe of Simeon, he was able to come up with these numbers himself, just by sitting down with Moses and Aaron, and somehow coming up with all these names. Anna.
Declare their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their polls. I thought they was referring to the congregation, so, but the captain...
Well, I'm looking back at verse 17. Okay, so your thought may be correct, Anna, but looking back at verse 17...
Which are expressed by their names, in other words, all the people that were just saying from verses 5-16... And then they, in some little congregation, maybe they included
Okay, so we have to identify, looking back to verse 17, which you already said this, but to be a little bit redundant here, and Moses and Aaron took these men referencing those 12 captains of their families, right? Took these men, which are expressed by their names. Now, Tammy, you had a thought about this part of this discussion here?
So they counted their heads.
Okay.
These men were standing there. And
okay, so they counted their heads, and they didn't count their names. They didn't say their names. Okay.
They had the names of the 12 men.
Mm-hmm. They had the names of the 12 men. Okay, and so going back to Anna's observation with verse 19, and they assembled all the congregation together. 18. Okay, this is Moses. This is Moses and Aaron and the 12 captains of the tribes on the first day of the second month, and they declare their pedigrees after the families. So this is the congregation that's declaring the pedigrees. Tammy.
When the pedigrees go backward, so they would know which tribe they fell into.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they might have said something like, my name is so-and-so, and my father, I am so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of Reuben.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. All right. Mom, question number 24.
I'm sorry, we mess up here.
No, the hermeneutic is not messed up. It's fine. Question number 24, Mom.
What were the men that were numbered able to do? Numbers 1:24. Of the children of Gad by their generations, and after their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all these were able to go forth to war.
So they were able to go forth to war. Which tribe had 45,650 males? Those were from the tribe
of Gad.
They had this number of males in their tribe. And let's read a few more verses. Bill, begin with verse 26, please.
Of the children of Judah, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war.
Okay. And Mom, read verse 27, please.
Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Judah, were 64,600.
And the children of Issachar, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war.
Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Issachar, were 54,400.
Of the tribe of Zebulun, by their generation, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. And we notice here, question 26, we've said this before, but at what age did the numbering begin? The number began at age 20 and upward. And so, Tammy, how many were from the tribe of Judah?
Mm-hmm.
74,600 from the tribe of Judah. What is the name of the next tribe to be numbered? We see this, the next tribe to be numbered is Issachar. So they did this numbering in an orderly fashion. And so Anna, what tribe had 54,400 over the age of 20.
Issachar.
Issachar had that number of men over the age of 20. Quite a number of men. And so we see here in question 30, who is the next generation to be numbered? We see the next generation to be numbered is Zebulun. They were the next generation to be numbered after their families, according to the number of their names. Again, it's from 20 years old and upward, and all those that were able to go forth to war. Okay, we'll read some more verses here. Verse 31.
Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Zebulun, were 57,400.
Mom, read through verse 32, please.
Of the children of Joseph, namely of the children of Ephraim, by their generation, after their families, by the house of their fathers, and according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. I think it's interesting, isn't that? Is that our cutoff in our country, 20, or is it 19?
It's 18. 18.
Those that were numbered of them, even the tribe of Ephraim, were 40,500.
Of the children of Manasseh, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war.
Those who were numbered of them, even the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,200. So I get back to the question you're asking when you're reading the passage here. Presently, it's 18.
I've forgotten.
But young man had to register for the Selective Service at age 18.
Yeah.
Now,
what do you mean age 18?
When they turn, after they've lived on this earth for 18 years, 18 years on their 18th birthday, they're supposed to register for that for the Selective Service. Now, I think at one point in time, back in, during your generation, maybe it was 21. I'm not positive. No?
I don't think so.
It was always 18?
I don't know.
Or was it even younger?
Yeah, it was pretty much always 18.
Always 18?
Was it Ronald Reagan that snuck in when he was 17?
Some boys.
Somebody snuck in when they were 17. And it wasn't found out until later. I think it might have been Ronald Reagan.
A lot of people have snuck in.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, during
the Civil War. They were right on.
They were being conscripted then.
They would write, "I am over 18" on a piece of paper and stick it in the bottom of the. Or no, they would write the number 18.
Yes.
They would write the number 18, stick it in their shoe, and then say, "I am over 18.
Yes. It's because they had number 18 in their shoe. Oh, that's that's right.
Verse 31, chapter 1.
And so, 18. That's in our system. So, but this time here was 20. Age 20, and able to go forth to war.
So sad.
The fact that they're over age 20. You're talking about what's going on here with Israel.
A mother of Israel is the same as a mother of
Israel.
Mm-hmm. You know, whether she had the same lifestyle, she didn't have a dishwasher, she had hands in a rag in the river.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, no matter. I used to just hope my children could stay in school and be good enough. If you got good enough grades, you could stay in school. I don't quite have that right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that
happened
at Sunday school. Maybe you all know.
Right, so... Yes, but they were needed.
Right.
And they were needed to be able to... Because God wanted to use them. I mean, even though they would say they appeared to be outnumbered in some times, they may have been, from the physical standpoint, weaker. But the God was the one that was going to give them the victory over their battle, their physical battle.
They loved our country. They volunteered, a lot of them.
We're talking about Israel.
Oh.
I was talking about Israel. You were talking about the mothers of Israel. And you were talking about this country's wars.
Right.
This country's army, navy, air force, and marines. But yes, we need protection. For a lot of the time we've had a volunteer army. Now sometimes we had a draft in the army. Some countries it's a mandatory draft. Israel, which is a very small country, has a mandatory service for everyone. That's in there. But basically, even once they leave, they're still in reserve if needed. Both men and women. Or because it's a country that's hated by all its neighbors and by many other countries in the world. The majority of the countries are an enemy of Israel. The modern day national Israel. There are enemies of modern day national Israel. And so consequently, we have both men and women who serve in the military after they get out of high school for 2 years, whatever the number is. And then they remain in the reserves after that. Because they want to be ready for any type of attack or ready when they're needed. And so that's why we have a standing army in this country. We're ready to defend this country. Now, sadly, sometimes we're sent to defend other countries.
I know.
Which sometimes, arguably, you could say that may be in the national security interest of the United States. But I'm not sure that can be said all the time. All the time. We're in the borders of other countries, protecting those borders. But for some reason, the border of this country doesn't seem that people don't think it needs to be protected. It needs to be monitored, and we have to make sure we are protected. On the coasts, the West Coast and East Coast, we have to have a Navy that's out there, an Air Force that's monitoring what's happening. It's on standby. Papa Bush took the B-52s off 24-hour alert, which I was disappointed about. But nonetheless, they could get those up in the air. Not as quick as before, but they still can get them up in the air if they need to. But here we're talking about Israel and the numbering that's going on with Israel. And so we notice here in verse 31, how many are from the tribe of Zebulun? We have 57,400 are from the tribe of Zebulun. And Anna, or which descendant of Joseph were numbered next?
Question
32.
Ephraim.
Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Ephraim was number next. And we see how many were from the tribe of Ephraim? 40,500 were from the tribe of Ephraim. And so, Bill, what were the men from Manasseh able to do?
The children of Manasseh by their generations after their families by the house of their fathers according to the number of their names from 20 years on upward, all that were able to go forth to war.
So they were able to go forth to war. The need of going to war to defend and to follow the instructions that God gave to them. I mean, notice here in question 35, what tribe had 32,200 men above the age of 20? And we see this is Manasseh had these numbers. Let's read some more verses. Bill, pick it up with verse 36.
Of the children of Benjamin, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names of the 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war.
And Jill, read 37, please.
So is that one number of them? Even of the tribe of Benjamin were 35,400.
And Mom, go ahead and read verse 38, please.
Excuse me. Of the children of Dan, by their generations, after their families, by the families of their, by the houses of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war.
Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Dan, were 70,700.
of the children of Asher by their generations after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war.
Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Asher, were 40,500. And notice here, of how many, how old were men, the men from the tribe of Benjamin? Of course, this is throughout this chapter we see 20 years old and upward, and able to go forth to war. Jill, in question 37, how many were from the tribe of Benjamin?
35,400.
Yep. 35,400. And notice in here, question 38, what tribe was next to be numbered? The children of Dan. They were the next ones to be numbered, the children of Dan. And question 39, which tribe had 62,700 in their tribe?
Wait a minute. 139. I sort of messed up my Bible here.
Question number 39. Which tribe had 62,700 men?
Oh, wait, I can't find it. 39. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Dan, were 2,700. Is this the right area?
That's right. And so it's the tribe of Dan, right? The tribe of Dan is what we're looking for. And in question 40, what were the men of Asher expected to do? Well, they were expected to be able to go forth to war. And Tammy, how many men were from the tribe of Asher?
41,500.
Let's read some more verses, beginning with verse 42. Bill, go ahead.
42, okay. Of the children of Naphtali, throughout their generations after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go to war.
Those that were numbered of them, even the tribe of Naphtali, were 53,400.
I'm going to read verse 44, please.
These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel, being 12 men. Each one was for the house of his fathers. So were all those that were numbered by the children of Israel, by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to the war in Israel. Even all that were numbered were 6. I'm going to.
You're just supposed to read one verse.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Tammy. Finish verse 46. Read verse 46.
Even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550.
But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them.
For the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, and we notice here in verse 42. At what age did the number begin? We see it began at 20 years old and upward. And Anna, which tribe had 53,400 men from it?
Naphtali.
That's right. Naphtali.
Is that the one that they counted and they didn't have enough men? Is that the one?
No, that was Benjamin.
It was Benjamin.
Okay.
How many households were represented? In question 4, we have 12 men. Was representing each of the households?
But first we have...
Question 44.
Question 44. Bill, how old were the men that were numbered? And what were these men able to do?
They were numbered from the age of 20, and they were able to go to war.
Yeah, that's right. Because this is kind of a theme that repeats throughout this chapter. What was the sum of the men who were numbered? This is everyone from all 12 tribes, with the exception, it was 603,500. That's how many?
50.
It's 50.
550.
550, thank you. That's right, 550. Can't believe I feel that 50. Thanks for noticing that 50, Tammy.
They would feel left out.
Yeah, they would feel left out. Jill, which tribe was not numbered?
The Levites.
The Levites were not numbered. To whom did the Lord speak? Well, the Lord spoke to Moses. Let's read a few more verses here. Okay, Bill?
Okay, what number are we?
We're 49.
Okay. Utterly thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel.
But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle.
Verse 51, now please read verse 51.
And when the tabernacle, seteth,
mm-hmm.
Or where the Levites shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levite shall set it up, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death.
The children of
Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard, throughout their hosts.
But the Levite shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, that there shall be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levite shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of the testimony.
And the children of Israel did, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And so what instructions were given regarding Levites is don't number them. Levites have a different function. Their function was not to go to war. Their function was to be able to serve in the tabernacle and do what was needed there in the tabernacle. That was their function. And their function was not on the battlefield, but inside the tabernacle. And Jill, what tribe was appointed over the tabernacle and all its vessels? Question 50.
The Levites.
Levites. And what would become of a stranger that approached the tabernacle? It would be put to death. Any stranger that would come near the tabernacle, they would be put to death. And because that wasn't where they were supposed to be. They weren't supposed to be there. Mom, question 52. Where and how did the children of Israel pitch their tents?
And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard, throughout their host.
So by his own camp and by his own standard. Right there is how we see it over there to the right, up on the wall. You see the tabernacle laid out there, and that's how they were pitching. Yeah. Next chapter 2, we'll see how they're ordered.
I was looking at
so many tribes to the south, so many tribes to the north, so many tribes to the east, so many tribes to the west. Where the Levites establish their camp, the Levites shall pitch around the tabernacle of testimony. That's where they establish their camp. And Tammy, what did the children of Israel do? In verse 54.
They did all that the Lord commanded Moses.
They did all the Lord commanded Moses. And so we see here the function of the numbering is to be able to determine how many people that were available, how many men were available to go forth to war. Maybe this was not so much needed from the standpoint of to demonstrate how God had worked through that, even though they knew they had 603,550, I guess was the number. And when they were facing nations, armies that were bigger than that, which sometimes they did. Sometimes they faced nations that had more men on the battlefield than they had, but God still gave the victory. But yet the Levites are told not to be numbered. is their function was to function in the tabernacle. So anyone, what sort of thoughts anyone has? So Bill, any more thoughts or observations about this chapter? Or?
No.
How about you, Joel?
Nothing? No, I don't have any.
Mm-hmm. Mom, more thoughts about Romans, probably Numbers chapter 1.
I don't have any more thoughts.
How about you, Tammy?
It's interesting, though.
Exodus chapter 12. Just read this recently. I'm not sure if this is exact or this is a round number. It says, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot. That were men besides children. Mm-hmm. So this number is, it's a year later. Again, I don't know if that's a round number, but it's another 3,550 people. Mm-hmm.
And then the first number there in Exodus 12 included the Levites.
That's true, it did.
And the number here in Numbers chapter 1 excludes the Levites. So they.
So it's actually even more than that.
Yes.
And in the time period of about a year and a month and a day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They multiplied maybe.
Yes.
20,000.
Right. That's good. That's a good conservative number. Anna, any more thoughts you might have about this chapter, observations?
Yes, actually. So I noticed. Well, see, I remembered this from before that. Judah had the most, and Benjamin had the least. And even if you count Ephraim and Manasseh together as one for Joseph, that only comes up to 72,700, and the tribe of Judah is 74,600. So Judah has Joseph beat by 1,900. And it's interesting, Judah has the most, and Benjamin has the least. But they ended up together in the southern two tribes. And
That is interesting.
Judah said in the book of Genesis that he was going to watch out for Benjamin. He told Jacob, his father, that he would watch out for Benjamin. And that's what he's been doing.
That's neat.
Interesting. Very neat. Yeah. It is neat. Tammy.
Where they're located? Seven?
No, the divided kingdom. Remember the divided kingdom? What do you know about the divided kingdom?
Why, there's two states.
The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom.
Benjamin and Joseph, maybe. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I've forgotten it.
So, that's...
Well, I was just talking about it.
I don't remember everything I hear.
Judah and Benjamin were in the south. And there were some Levites in the south.
Oh, Judah. Yeah, he is one of the 12 sons.
Okay.
Tammy, make your thought, and then we'll have a clarification of Anna's thought. What's your thought?
Well, just piggybacking on what Anna said, as far as Judah. Judah was not necessarily the choice of his father, but he was the choice of God.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And the two tribes of Joseph, even though he received a double portion, couldn't measure up to what God gave Judah.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
Yes.
As far as the number
right.
of soldiers.
Okay.
That's good.
Did you not hear it?
I heard everything. I just don't understand it.
The blessing God gave Judah. He gave Judah the blessing, though his father gave Joseph the blessing and blessed his two sons. But his two sons' tribes, the number of soldiers that they had, couldn't add up to the number of soldiers that Judah had.
Oh.
Because it's just demonstrating God's blessing on the tribe of Judah.
Thanks. In spite of everything...
Good, that's good.
Right.
Very good. More thoughts,
Did Anna have something
up there? No, I would just seem like someone in the room was slightly confused about what I had been saying.
Do you think that they're less confused?
I'm not certain.
Tammy.
This is something that will go on later for chapter 25.
Mm-hmm.
where it says in verse 51, and when the tabernacle set forth, the Levites shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is pitched, the Levites shall set it up, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. We know in chapter 25, verse 6, there was a Midianite-ish woman that came, and Phinehas struck her through, she was pregnant, and struck her through the belly. Because she not only wasn't supposed to be there, which is a totally new thing for me, but she was also, had intermarried with the Israelites, that it was a sin the Israelites committed.
That's correct, that's right.
We'll see that later.
Well, I had a different interpretation.
What was your view, Anna?
Oh, I thought, I guess I never, the one I read, I never thought that she was pregnant.
No, maybe, I think she was, though. We'll have to study that out, Anna. We'll
study out and bring back an answer.
It says that he thrust through both of them, but I thought that was the Israelite and her.
The two of them were thrust. Or maybe. So we'll get to it in more detail. There could be more than one account, but there's an account there were two of them together.
The woman through her belly. The whole concept, the whole idea of through her belly, the significance of that.
Yes.
It seems like she was pregnant.
Perhaps.
Right. Okay.
But both of them through the man of Israel.
Anna's looking at, the word both, and Tammy looking at the word belly. Either both or belly, or maybe there's some kind of something about both, the words both and belly, that could be brought together a little bit there. Anything else about this chapter? Tammy.
Or numbering them and preparing them for battle, because later on in the book of Numbers, he was going to send them forth to conquer the promised land. At least that was the mission.
That was the mission. In the next chapter, we'll see how they're going to be oriented around the tabernacle. Well, Bill, would you close in prayer, please?
Father in heaven, we thank you for this lesson. We're getting a picture through this chapter of how people organized according to your words, according to your ways. And it's a good lesson for us because we're not so organized today, more than 2,000 years later. So this is a good lesson for us. We thank you for everything that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.